Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. Welcome to the NBA All-Star Weekend of the Sunday morning brunch. We got a lot of stuff to jump into, and I'm going to try and keep this real specific. College basketball had a lot of top 25 teams fall off. An epic night last night in the All-Star Weekend, but we'll try to get to as much as we can. All-Star game is tonight, man. Y'all sit tight here in Sports City. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
Ow. Welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City chance for Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody. Don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
Sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. And I'm going to try and do the best that I can. Sports City, I'm alone right now, but like I said, there's a lot of stuff to jump into, especially with a lot of the top 25 teams that have fell in the day and in the past 24 hours. And also if they have a close eye on your guy Calipari too, because how he got ejected from a game within 2 minutes time, that's probably the quickest ejection that I've ever seen in college basketball. So I wanted to see how we were going to deal with this one. Okay, now I thought you see my cue. I do have Nas Adamas back in the building. Chandler, welcome to the brunch. How you feeling this morning?
All right.
So I do want to jump into at least a couple of these college basketball games. A lot of the top 25 fell off. Like, just to throw something out there, Wisconsin knocked off Maryland. Maryland at home, being a number two ranked team in the nation. Oklahoma, Kansas, everybody was waiting for that epic battle. But Oklahoma ends up losing to Kansas again. Virginia lost at the buzzer to Duke. I'm just going straight down the atmosphere. Oregon lost as well. Louisville lost. Texas lost. Texas A&M lost, but I'm just saying, there's a ton of the top 25 that have fell, and knowing how we've been actually going back and forth about the parity throughout the nation on college basketball, just to throw some of these teams out there, the inconsistency from LSU being one of them. LSU knocked off this Texas A&M team. They're all right at home. When they're on the road, that's when you can catch LSU. Looking at this game up against South Carolina with Kentucky, Kentucky came out and basically beat them down as best as they could. But knowing how big of a personality like a guy like John Calipari and the way that the play was going at the early portion of the game, he didn't like the physical nature of the game. So he was disputing the situation with one of the referees. One of the referees was not having it. And he got into this situation heavier than expected, and the referee ejected him with, you know, I just say 3 minute window of time taken off the clock. Your thoughts on at least the situation in Kentucky and how the team responded to come out and have an excellent game up against South Carolina. And the last time Calipari was actually ejected was 2014 in the same arena down in South Carolina.
Well, I didn't see the game. I mean, it's South Carolina. It's not like that's a great team. He got ejected. He got ejected. I don't get how it's a big deal a coach got ejected. I really don't. He gets away with murder. He doesn't get away with it in South Carolina.
South Carolina is actually doing well. They are 21-4 in the season.
It's still South Carolina. Still South Carolina.
Okay. Right.
So they'll win maybe one game in the tournament, and then they'll lose in South Carolina.
True. Okay, here goes some more teams that have lost. Wichita State had lost at home up against Northern Iowa, which Northern Iowa has actually made a name for themselves in the past 3 or 4 years. in which Wichita State lost a 46-game home winning streak, in which their team had two different shots at the you know, at the end of the game to try and tie it up. They didn't get it to fall. 46-game winning streak snapped by Northern Iowa at home. Wichita State was at home up against Northern Iowa. You also have Texas Tech, which a Tubby Smith-led team, and beat Baylor by 18. This is the biggest loss that Baylor has had as a ranked team to an unranked. They lost by 18 at home. So, I mean, the count of these teams are endless. Purdue is another team that fell as well. I mean, just some of the thoughts on some of the teams out there that you may have seen. Notre Dame also knocked off Louisville, too, especially with everything that's swarming around Louisville and the Rick Pitino situation as well.
I don't think there's any great team in college basketball. So I don't think anybody should be surprised at anybody who beats anybody. That's the thing I don't get about it, is people still looking at the name of the school instead of looking at college basketball. There is actual parity in college basketball. There's no great team in college basketball this year. There's a couple of players everybody's claiming are great, but these guys aren't true difference makers. They're not guys who can lift a team that shouldn't be, you know, good and make them good. You talk all you want about the Ben Simmons and the Buddy Hills of the world. They are not transcendent players. So, you know, this particular college basketball season, hell, you could have a team from San Diego State win the NCAA championship.
Hmm.
That's just how much parity there is. That's just how much parity there is. You say, come on, all you want. That's just how much parity there is. There is not one great team in college basketball. Name me a great team. Maryland, please. Wisconsin, please. North Carolina, get the hell out of here. Duke, they're not even ranked. Kentucky, be lucky to win one game in the tournament.
How do you feel about Villanova? And they played you guys yesterday.
Yeah, they beat a team that they should have beat because it's a team that's on a rebuild. It's a team full of basically freshmen and one JUCO transfer. So anybody who doesn't beat St. John's, that speaks a lot about them. It's a team that's lost 16 straight games. How hard is it to beat them?
And they only beat them by 10, by the way.
So how really good can Villanova be? You only beat St. John's by 10. Butler beat him by 30. Creighton beat him by 15. And you only beat him by 10?
Right. The reason, of course, you're going to get everybody's best effort being a number one ranked team.
St. John's is terrible. That's my team. We're terrible right now, okay? Next season, we'll have a better recruiting class and all of those things. Chris Mullin is learning how to coach. He's never coached before. We're terrible. The fact that twice this year we've given Villanova fits speaks to the deficiencies of Villanova. That speaks to the deficiencies of Villanova. Villanova's one and done in the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
Because they apparently don't understand the concept of, we're better than this team. We need to go out, put our foot in it, throw early in the game, and break their will. So if you can't break the will of a team like St. John's, then what are you going to do in a tournament? What are you going to do in a tournament? When you're playing some team from the MEAC, they ain't got nothing to lose, and it's coming there to beat you. You play the school in St. John's where the players think they can't win on any given day. They know right now they're not good enough to beat anybody. They know this. They still haven't played hard, mind you. They haven't quit or anything like that. But they understand that chances are they're going to lose the game. So all they can do is give their best effort and hope to make it close. And you struggle to beat this team.
So let me throw out some of the teams that, you know, in the top 25, because at least in the top 25, there's a couple of Big East teams, and, you know, I'm biased to the Big East situation, but I look at a Providence team that actually had a big lead on Georgetown, knowing I was watching this specifically. They had a 20-point lead at halftime. Georgetown stormed all the way back to cut the lead to one, ended up winning the game by three. However, Providence has a pretty good unit there. as a Big East team. I think that they'll make some noise. Also, in the Villanova situation, they're going to face everybody that's going up into that that number one rank has got, you know, number one ranked position has gotten knocked off. At least five or six of these teams have gotten knocked off in that position. So it's not like everybody, as soon as they see the ball go up, it's like they're intimidated. Just like you said, there's a ton of parity for a lot of these teams to go in there and take care of business. So I don't know how much of this we throw in front of Jay Wright or the leadership that they have in Villanova as well, with guys like Achefu. I can't even pronounce the shooter's name. He has a long, drawn-out name as well. But I do want to go into the Buddy Hield situation and how they went up against Kansas. They actually held Buddy Hield field goalless, shall I say, the entire first half, and then he woke up in the second half and made this a game. However, Kansas did end up taking care of business in this matchup. Now, you already threw out the Buddy Hield and the Ben Simmons situation. Do you think that he's going to end up going downhill from this situation, or do you think he gets stronger after the second loss on the season up against Kansas?
Listen, they held him. He shot 5 of 15 from the field. This is the third game almost in a row that Oklahoma has struggled because the pressure has mounted. These, you told my guy, teams getting the number one loser, because none of them are built to handle being number one. They're all built to chase number one. They're not built to handle being number one. So, Buddy Hield is one of the top players of college basketball. He's going to end up having a great season. Oklahoma's going to win a couple of games in the tournament, and then they're going to lose. They'll probably get to the Elite Eight, maybe Final Four, but I doubt it. If you look at the team and how it's constructed, you got a bunch of guys who look to be a little jealous of the attention that Buddy's getting. Especially that one kid whose name I can never remember, because he was one who was arguing with Buddy a couple of games ago. That game they got smoked at, where were they at? Kansas State. That game they got smoke checked at Kansas State. The kid who kicked the ball into the stands because he was mad about the foul.
Right.
If you notice in the games they lose, he's constantly arguing and chirping with his own teammates as well as the officials and at the other team. You have an immature team. You have some guys who are mad that somebody's getting most of the credit for them winning. And so there's, again, just like with LSU, there's minutes on the clock in the game. So if it's 5 minutes of the game, it's probably like 20 minutes of real time where Buddy Hield won't touch the ball. He'll be wide open. They'll come down and they'll pass to this guy, and then that guy shoots. They never even look at him. Unless he gets the ball inbounded to him, he's not touching the ball on a lot of possessions. How are you going to win if you don't want to give your best player the ball? Because you want to prove that you're good, too. So, that's why I said this guy's – he is a really good college basketball player. I think he'll be really good in the pros because he's tough-minded. But he's not a transcendent college basketball player. He's not a guy 10 years from now we're going to be talking about him. Neither is Ben Simmons. 10 years from now, we'll forgot these guys played college basketball. We'll have forgotten about him.
So what do you think it takes for at least both of these guys to step into that mold? Because these guys are fascinating players in their own right. Like, looking at Ben Simmons, he comes on the floor and he rebounds, he scores, he actually passes. He's not selfish. Buddy Hield has actually stepped into the role of the past 2 years of scoring more, because before he was a defender that could put the ball up. Now, in the past two seasons, he became more of a scorer and becoming a nationally known threat for this Oklahoma Sooner team. What do you think at least Buddy Hield and Ben Simmons, at least Ben Simmons, him being a freshman and looking like a one-and-done guy, what do they have to do to be a notable name that we preach more going to the next level?
Nothing. They are who they are. Ben Simmons is a guy who is a pass-first, not as aggressive as people would like player. He's a guy who is never going to be he's not a killer. And I don't mean that as a negative thing. That's not his personality. You know, he's not a guy who wants to dominate the game. It's not how he's built. It's not how he's wired. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I remember Thurl Bailey?
Mm-hmm. You talk.
How tall? No. In college basketball, where did Thurl Bailey play?
I don't have that in front of me. I remember when
he was
played
the point guard at North Carolina. He was the point guard for NC State,
okay,
for Jim Valvano. He was the point guard on that team. How tall is Thurl Bailey? Thurl Bailey, depending on what you listen to, is either 6'9 or 6'11. He was the point guard for the NC State team. People forget about that.
Right.
There's no difference between Thurl Bailey and Ben Simmons to me. No difference. The reason people don't remember Thurl Bailey is because he's exactly like Ben Simmons. He was the guy who had the talent to do anything on the court. He could take you in the paint. He could pass the ball. He could shoot lights out. He could defend. But he never dominated the game because that's not how he was wired. That's not how he was wired. Ben Simmons isn't the first guy his size that has superior passing skills, that could rebound, that could shoot. He's the first guy. And that's insulting to the history of college basketball. When people talk about, we've never, yeah, you have. I just gave you a name. And now that you think about Thurl Bailey, tell me what Ben Simmons could do that Thurl Bailey couldn't do.
Nothing. And the comparison the comparison that they're throwing in front of Simmons is more or less him and they're trying to throw him in front of the LeBron situation, which at least let him get to the league and start to see what he's going to see at the next level. That's the one thing that actually bothers me about the Ben Simmons situation, because he's gone to a university that he doesn't have too much around him. I mean, they came out the gates and had a lot of flash, but, I mean, they're basically middle-of-the-road team in the SEC right now where – I don't know how it's going to pan out for them in the SEC tournament, especially if they do end up making a big dance. At least, you know, keep them in the realm of some of the players that are in front of them in the league. But comparing them to the best player in the league right now, or one of the best players since, you know, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and, you know, others are in that discussion, Russell Westbrook as well. Like, try to keep it in the realm of guys that are attainable for him moving forward, not to the top of the league and seeing what he can end up being. But, I mean, is this something that he should take as a thankful note or be gracious that they're actually putting him in the same discussion as LeBron, or is this too much weight to put on his shoulders, or guys that have come from yesterday, like you just mentioned with Thurl Bailey, should they look at players that have come before him that they should compare him to?
They're not going to, because apparently college basketball started, college basketball didn't start until about 20 years ago. And NBA didn't start until Michael Jordan came in, apparently. Because everybody seems to act like nothing happened before that. With all these pronouncements of, this is the best player since, and LeBron James first of all did play college basketball. So how are you going to compare a kid that played college basketball to somebody who didn't? Because we never saw LeBron James play college basketball. So we don't know what he would have been in college basketball, because it would have depended on the university he went to, the type of system they were running, the coach he was playing under. You understand what I'm saying? There would have been a lot of things that would have impacted how he excelled in college. You know, Ben Simmons, and then you look at, what school did Ben Simmons go to? He's coming from Australia, and he went to LSU. He went to LSU. Who goes to LSU? Seriously.
Shaquille O'Neal.
What top tier? And by the way, they had Dale Brown coaching them in. What top tier? And I always question why Shaquille O'Neal went to LSU, first of all, but that's a whole different conversation. I think he just wanted to be a big fish in a small pond. And that's what I'm talking about, is what player that has that killer, I want to be the best player in the country, goes to a school like LSU? No, you go to a school where there's going to be eight other guys on that team who can get just as much shine as you and prove you're better than them. You see what I'm saying? That's what you do. You don't go to a school like LSU, because it's easy to be the best player in LSU. It ain't that difficult. The SEC is not that great a conference. It's easy to be the best player in the SEC. Bobby Portis was one of the best players in the SEC last season. How's he doing in the NBA? He's doing okay, right?
He's doing all right, yeah.
He's doing all right. Is he a world beater in the NBA?
No.
No, he's not.
Especially for the team that he's on with Chicago. Like, it's the role that he has to play there in Chicago.
And I understand that, but if listen, Jimmy Butler was the Marquette. Is Jimmy Butler one of the best players in the NBA?
Yes, he is.
He was the Marquette, right?
True.
When he wasn't expected to do anything. Dwayne Wade. Nobody knew who Dwayne Wade was. He was the Marquette and blew up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And look at the conference he went to. He went to the Big East Conference where it was all kinds of great players. And he became the best player in that conference. Okay? So you go to LSU. That speaks to me that says you don't want a whole lot of competition to be the best player in the conference. That's what it says to me.
His father actually coached there as well, too. So I think that was more of an easy path to get that, you know, transition and, you know, and not to say that a money thing was something to be worried about, but that could be something that was considered as well, you know, just trying to take that the easy route.
But you don't think the Dukes and the North Carolinas of the world were recruiting this kid?
I'm not saying that. But knowing that he was tied into the university already before he got there, it's something that they probably went through that avenue. Not saying that those other schools weren't, you know, gazing at what was going on across seas while he was there until he came to the States and then made the jump into college basketball, because he was here before he landed before the season started. So,
right. I think Ben Simmons will be a good player at the next level. So this talk of him being the next LeBron is just stupid, because he's not.
Right.
If you look at his game isn't even the same. He is a passive star. He's a passive star. Passive stars do not really excel at the next level. Okay? And again, it's not a knock. It's just who his it's just what his personality is. It's what his personality is.
This is how LeBron has started, though. LeBron started out as a passive star and then had to, I guess, basically be put in a situation where everybody says put up or shut up, and then they turned around 2011 when they lost to Dallas, 2012 where they beat Oklahoma City, 2013 where they beat the Spurs in the finals, where LeBron had to finally take enough lumps to finally get it.
Well, I don't think he was ever a passive star. What it was is he deferred a little bit too much, but he was never passive. He was a guy who, look, I'll put it like this. When you watch LSU games, do you sometimes forget that Ben Simmons is on the floor?
A lot. And another thing that a lot of people underrate, he gets winded quickly. He gets tired quick. He's out of games a lot.
Yeah. Now, have you ever, even when LeBron wasn't shooting as much as people thought and this, that, and other, did you ever forget he was on the floor? Exactly. That's what I mean by passive. If I can forget that you're on the floor, then you are not the best player in college basketball. I hate Christian Laettner. Always will. Did you ever forget that Christian Laettner was on the floor, even if he was having a bad game?
Never.
When Blake Griffin was at Kansas State, no matter what type of game he had, did you ever forget he was on the floor? The Danny Mannings of the world. Did you ever forget he was on the floor? Kemba Walker. Did you ever forget Kemba Walker was on the floor? No. You didn't. Now, they might not have been scoring. They might have been having a terrible game, but you never forgot they were on the floor. You can forget that Ben Simmons is even in the game. Same with Buddy Hield. You can literally forget he's even on the damn floor. That you are not what they're saying you are. Because in order to be in that particular company, you have to have another level of it. You have to have another level of aggression. I remember Clark Kellogg. People think he's just some guy that talks basketball. Clark Kellogg at one point was in the runner to be the best player in college basketball. Okay? He was that damn good. You talk college basketball, people still talk about Clark Kellogg.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Ben Simmons is to me? He's Lawrence Funderburk.
Wow, State, yeah.
Remember him? How much talent did Lawrence Funderburk have? How much talent did that boy have?
And he was in college.
When he was in college.
He was a load, but when he got to the league, it was a different story. He was a forgot about player.
And even in college, there were times where he disappeared in games. That's why Jimmy Jackson was able to get so much press.
So Thunderbird was his big guy. That was his garbage man. Thunderbird was basically his garbage man while Jimmy got those shots up.
But Lawrence Thunderbird could have dominated college basketball had he wanted to. He was that talented. He could have dominated college basketball. But he never had the drive to do that. And that's not a bad thing. You have to be what your personality says you are. You can't be something you're not. But don't tell me this guy is the second coming of Magic. Okay, Magic wanted to destroy you every game on every possession.
Right.
Listen, he's okay with the rest of the team shining, and Henson over there was 0.0 assists and 0 rebounds. You can't compare
him. Do you think this comes from his youth, though? Him only being 19 years old and not pushing to the same light to where, you know, I mean, Magic shined all throughout college, and more or less him playing overseas internationally over in Australia coming here where, you know, Magic and the rest of the guys being named played here and basically already had that taste of blood while they played here already compared to Ben Simmons, I think, more or less trying to fit the mold of what's going on before, you know, making his game hit the floor. And I understand both sides of the coin, whether if there's a natural-born killer on the floor that you got to be worried about if every time he crosses half court, or a guy that you have to worry about of him being instrumental to helping his team achieve their goal, and that's winning the game at the end of the day.
Right. And see, no, that's just his personality. It's just his personality. Remember Drazen Petrovic? He played overseas all his life. Well, he was somebody who wanted to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
He played in Europe. You see what I'm saying? And he was trying to, listen, him, Sharun's Marshallonis, and I'll give you the perfect example of personality. Hino Turkoglu was a guy who could have dominated the NBA. He could have been a superstar in the NBA. He was content to be a role player. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just what his personality said he was. Lamar Odom should have been an all-time great. Should have been. Could have been, should have been. That's not what his personality said. Ben Simmons is a reserved type of guy. He's not that guy that you're going to look to take over the game and say, give me the damn ball, clear out, I got this. That's not who he is. And there's nothing wrong with that because you need those guys too, okay? But when you put him in, when you mention the names they're mentioning with him, you can't mention those names because he's not up at that level as a personality. And because of his personality is not at that level, his game will never reach that level.
Okay. We're pegging on Ben Simmons a lot. I want to peg on somebody else in the college basketball atmosphere, see how you feel about this now. This was a team that we talked about a little bit a while ago. We talked about how Maryland and their turnover moving forward throughout the remainder of the season and going into the Big Dance. I want to look at a guy like Melo Trimble, where last year he made a big name for himself hitting, the college basketball atmosphere, comes into the season and has a rocky start, especially with getting with Suleiman, a guy from Duke as well. I don't know if you see the numbers on Melo Trimble. Melo Trimble last night shot 1-for-14 from the field. The remainder of his points came from the free throw line. And them losing at home to an unranked Wisconsin team, what does this one say about Maryland? Outside of what you already said, that they'd probably be a one and done in a dance, but what does it say about Maryland losing at home convincingly like this? And two, a guy like Melo Trimble, I mean, do you believe that he could transition his game to the NBA, or do you think this is a situation, this is just a one game where they caught him snoozing, but this has actually been the mix with him all season long. He's had about 3 games where he's blown up, but the rest of the season, you have not heard Melo Trimble all season long like you did last season.
Melo Trimble is a guy that can't handle pressure. He is expected now to do what he was supposed to do last season. See, here's how you can decide who you want to call a superstar. When they're expected to do it and they do it. When they're not expected to do it and they do it, that's great. But when you're expected to do it, when we look at you and say, okay, yeah, you got 20 points. That's what you're supposed to do. Get it again. Get it again. Get it again. Hey, it's a big game coming up. Now you need to get 30. 20 is not good enough. Now you need to do 30. And those guys struggle. He's not built for it. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. He's a complimentary guy, but in college, they're trying to build him into something he's not. It's not how he's built. That Maryland team, you know, they came in, everybody said, oh, he's going to be number one, and this, that, the other. Yeah, right. You and I both know that's a flawed team. And they're losing games they're not supposed to lose. Why? Because they can't handle pressure. Being expected to win versus being surprising people in winning are two very different things. Hunting versus being the hunted. When you're hunting, you're relaxed. It's easy to do good. When you're the hunted, when you have to do thin every single game, your spot at the top of the mountain, that's when it gets hard. That's when it gets hard. And that's why Melo Trumbull is struggling this year.
And also in his last game, I think he had an early exit. He had 5 points in that game up against Bowie State, but they took care of business in that game. He also had a 14-point effort up against Purdue. 20 against Nebraska and 20 against Ohio State. There's nothing that's really jumped off the board for Melo. And this is his sophomore year, where last year a lot of people were expecting him to come out. Do you think he actually leaves, or does he stay for another year in college basketball to learn more about himself and the intricacies of the game?
I think he has to come out, because if he stays another year in college basketball, the rest of his flaws will be exposed. If he stays another season, he can only hurt his draft prospects. He can only hurt them. So if I'm him, I get the hell out of college basketball, because the longer you stay, see, he's trending in the wrong direction right now. His stock is dropping. Whether you believe it or not, his stock is dropping because he's being exposed as a guy that can't really handle pressure. Now, last season, his stock was real high, right? He could have left. He probably would have been a lottery pick. Right now, you think Melo Trumbull's a lottery pick?
Not out of them now, no. He'll be in the draft, definitely. I think he's probably a late first round.
How many millions did he already cost himself? Now, if he stays another season of college basketball, he'll be lucky to be a second rounder. So his best bet now to still get drafted in the first round and get that guaranteed money is to come out after this season. Because if he stays another, especially when Maryland gets bounced in the first round, he's going to be the guy they look at. So if I'm him, I don't go back to college. I get the hell out of there while I can still get guaranteed money in the first round of the NBA. You know? Do like a lot of Syracuse guys that come out, get drafted in the first round. They in the league about 3 years, because that's guaranteed money. You never hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
That's Melo Trumbull.
Okay. Another team that in the ACC, knowing that Virginia was a top 10, well, they are still until tomorrow, a top 10 team. They went into Cameron Indoor and had the lead late and lost off of a buzzer beater by Grayson Allen. With all of the teams that have failed in the top 25 and knowing how questionable Duke has looked all season long, how far up do you think they go? I mean, I know that they'll definitely make the top 25 now after this win, knowing that Virginia was fighting a 15-game losing streak in Cameron Indoor and still ended up managing losing this game on a late-game shot. How far do you think that the committee will end up pushing Duke in this top 25? Do you think they'll be out of the 25, like in the 20 region, in the teens? How much do you think they'll give a lot of respect to this win for Coach K and Duke pulling this off up against a top 10 ranked team?
Well, Virginia's overrated, so they're going to overrate this win. So they'll be somewhere between 20 and 25. Duke is still not a top 25 team, but they're going to get them in the top 25 so they can be at least a seventh seed in the tournament. They have to, because this is driven by money. No matter what people want to think, this is driven by money, okay? And you want Duke with a top 5 to 7 seed because you want to be able to keep them in a region where their fans can travel to, which is the Eastern region, okay? And you want to be able to justify having them in that region, so they need to have a seed somewhere between 1 and 7. Any lower than that, you have to send them cross-country. You don't want to send them cross-country. You want to keep them in the region they're in so that they can pull in them dollars, man, so their fans can fill up that particular arena. So Duke will probably be 21 in the next poll. They still shouldn't be in the top 25. They beat Virginia. Virginia's trash.
They're ranked 7th, though. They're ranked 7th. Where do you think Virginia should be ranked then?
Maybe 15. Maybe 15. ACC is garbage. ACC is garbage.
And the best team there, honestly, looking right now, is as of Virginia losing, they were one of them. North Carolina's up there, too, and Miami. If Tommy were to hear that, he would love that. But if North Carolina and Miami right now, the two teams that are making noise in that conference. Other than that, just like you said, it's a very questionable conference right now. And we've never really looked at the ACC being a weaker conference throughout the college basketball atmosphere in a long time.
Tell me a team in the ACC you think could beat a team in the Big 12 right now.
Miami can be the top team
in the Big 12. You think Miami can beat Oklahoma?
They have position players up and down the floor. From 1 through 5.
You think Miami could beat Oklahoma?
1 through 5. They can play with these guys. They can.
1 through 10. See, Oklahoma goes 10 deep.
Right.
Kansas goes 10 deep. Again, I'm going to say this again. Look at Texas A&M. Texas. Look at the Big 12 and tell me what team in the ACC you would take over the top teams in the Big 12.
Like, because I couldn't really put North Carolina in the discussion because they lost to Texas earlier, and I was watching that game specifically.
So when I say Virginia's trash, they're trash. The first 5 to 7 teams in the poll should be from the Big 12 and the Big East. There should not be an ACC team in there. They're only there because of the conference they're in. Because Virginia's not beating anybody in the Big 12. Let's be clear. They're not beating any team in the Big 12. None of them.
I want to look at the full. Okay. And if you look at the top 10, yes, it's only Virginia and North Carolina in the top 10 from the ACC, which it depends on how the rest of this week pans out for North Carolina. North Carolina ends up playing Duke Wednesday, too, that epic battle as well. And I think a lot of the top 10. Miami is ranked 12th in the AP poll and 11th in the coaches poll, so with some of these losses, they may end up being a top-10 ranked team, but it depends on if one of these teams end up going to test them. Now, I do want to pull up the remainder of their schedule and see how this ends up panning out for them as well, too. I just give me some time to see how their schedule looks for the remainder of the season. Florida State, Tech, North Carolina. Their biggest test is coming up next Saturday at Chapel Hill, where they've actually been successful up there. And then they follow that one up by a Monday night matchup up against Virginia. And follow that. Yeah, they're starting to see the thick of their schedule now. North Carolina, Virginia, Louisville, Notre Dame. And then they finish up with Virginia Tech. So their next 5 or 6 games are going to be tough for them. So this is where we'll see the true test if Miami is legit or not. But they've been taking care of business up until now. Lost a couple of questionable games. They lost to North Carolina State convincingly. They also lost to Virginia earlier this season at Virginia and lost to Clemson as well, a double-digit form. But they've won throughout the remainder of the season and taking care of teams like Duke. They beat Notre Dame earlier as well. And, a Pittsburgh team, they won by 2. But that's not a Pittsburgh team that's jumping out the gate for Jamie Dixon like we normally know. Jamie Dixon putting together quality teams and point guard that he gets out of the city. Even though he has the Gibbs brother from the city as well, too, but this isn't the same Pittsburgh that we're used to.
So Miami basically has played up or down to the level of their competition, is what you're telling me. When you have a team like that, that sounds real good until they get into a game where when they're trying to play up to the level of the competition, that team they're playing can raise their level. Kansas can raise their level of play. Oklahoma can raise their level of play. Kansas State can raise their level of play. Texas A&M can raise their level of play another notch. So what do you do now if you're Miami? Because, yeah, you played up to the level that you thought you needed to get to. Now you got to go up another step. That's usually when you fall on your face. See, because if you struggle to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, but you beat the teams that you're not supposed to, that says that you're a flawed team and that when a push comes to shove, you're going to fold. Because you're going to run into a team that knows how to play and knows how to raise its level when it needs to. It understands, okay, meaning that they're not taking any team lightly. But you can't have a team that's, oh, well, these guys aren't that good, so we don't have to try as hard. That's not how you can't be. See, you can't be a top 10 team if that's how you play. Can't be. That's why I said the first 1 through 7. 1 through 7 should be Big 12 and Big East teams. You want to put Miami around 10, 11? I can live with that. They should be no higher. They should be no higher.
Yeah, but with a couple of these teams falling, I think Miami does end up falling into the top 10 as of this week, especially if they win today. They have a game today as well, so they have to take care of business so they can get into the top 10. But out of any team in the ACC, if I were to throw them up against the Big 12, Miami would be the only team. And they're at Florida State in Tallahassee today, a 6:30 matchup, which I think they should be able to take care of business up against Coach Leonard, even though this is the rivalry, you know, Hurricanes, Florida State. But I think Miami's on a little streak. They have a 3-game winning streak. But if I was looking at it like that, I think Miami could contend. They'd be the only team that I could throw out there without, you know, scratching my head trying to pick a team out of the ACC. But, you know, North Carolina, like I said, I've seen that game myself. They lost against Texas at the end of the game. Duke is out of the top 25. I think a lot of these teams, especially when you get the best play out of a lot of these teams consistently, people play Duke like they're a number one ranked team, even when they're not. So I don't think Duke is ready, especially with their big man play. They put a lot on the Plumlee, Marshall Plumlee, and he's a quality size guy, but he's not a quality player for them. I mean, he gets his buckets, he gets his rebounds, but he's not one of those, he's not the Miles, he's not the Mason Plumlee. He's the brother that's going through the motions to get out of college for me. That's how I look at it.
And he'll probably turn out to be the best Plumlee because he's actually going to have to work at his craft and get better, whereas the other ones, they came into college and they excelled right away. They never worked at their craft. That's why they were such flawed players when they got to the league. He'll probably turn out to be the best of the bunch because he's having to work at his craft.
He's looking forward to actually joining the Army, so he's not even going to go into the league more than likely unless they come to him with a deal that he can't deny. He's the tallest out of all three of them, too, but I doubt
right.
that he follows the league anyway. So if he right.
But I guarantee this about that Miami game today. If they win, it won't be by more than 5 points. If they win. And if that game is 5 points, 5 points or closer, then Miami shouldn't be in the top 10. There's no way I would put them in the top 10. This is a game today. This is smoke check Florida State. It's a rivalry game, and you're twice as good as them. This should not even be a contest. Shouldn't even be a contest.
Okay. Any other team that you'd like to discuss in the college atmosphere?
No.
Okay, is there a topic that you'd like to get out there before, I know you don't want to talk about the remainder of the weekend, But I did want to discuss the Kobe situation. Oh, I do have a caller that just called in as well, and he just fell out also. caller, if you're out there, call back in. Definitely could get you back in here. But also, I did want to talk about a situation that is a person that's in this weekend as well. But any topic that comes to mind that you'd like to discuss as well.
If you want to get your Kobe thing out of the way, because the topic I got, so take up the rest of the show.
Go. Please shoot. Please. I would love to.
There's a Title IX lawsuit going on at the University of Tennessee. Now, because of this lawsuit, there's stuff that's come out again about Peyton Manning that people apparently chose to forget or want to act like they don't know. You got the Monty Balls of the world taking to Twitter talking about what a great guy Peyton is. You got idiots from Fox Sports 1 talking about it was a prank. If you're a parent and you have a daughter or you got a sister or you got a mother, this is what I want you to imagine. She's at her job. Somebody at her job comes up and puts their balls in her face and says it was a prank. Just think about that for a minute. Think about that. Would you say that was a prank? Or would you want them locked up? Now, this Title IX lawsuit is covering over 20, 25 years of women being assaulted by athletes at the University of Texas and administration covering it up, victim shaming, victim blaming. You even had guys on the football team put a hit out on a fellow football player when he stood up for one of the rapes. This is how bad things are. I'm not going to say are at the University of Tennessee. But what everybody wants to fixate on is the Peyton Manning thing. Peyton Manning was the guy who did this, by the way, to not some student aide, not some teacher's aide, not another student, although it doesn't make it any less. But this was a woman who was a professor at the school, okay? She had a degree. She's working in the training department. It's part of the training staff. And this was at a time when women weren't given a whole lot of leeway to get into the training staff. So she was already a trailblazer, okay? He lied and said, oh, I didn't do it. Now, he said he didn't do it. So for all of the people saying it was a prank, Peyton Manning denied doing it. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say it was a prank and then say he didn't do it. Which one is it? Was it a prank or did he not do it? Because he denied doing it altogether. There was another University of Texas athlete in the training room when he did it. When they interviewed the player said, no, he did it. University of Texas pulled his scholarship, Tennessee, they pulled his scholarship. So he never got to play sports there. They pulled his scholarship. Now, the lady in question moved on to another school, and years later, Peyton and his father, Archie, wrote a book. And again, everything I'm saying is coming out of court documents. So if you say, oh, it's a slanted piece, read the court documents from the lawsuit that was filed, because when Peyton and his father wrote the book, they basically trashed this woman's reputation. They said that the reason that she was a liar was because she was sleeping with black guys in the dorm. That's why she shouldn't be believed, because there's something wrong with her sleeping with black people. This is coming from Archie Manning and his son Peyton. But let's conveniently neglect that. Oh, people bringing up something from 30 years ago. What's the big deal? Ask the woman who was assaulted if it's still a big deal. If you want to know if it's a big deal to someone, what happened to them, talk to people that were victims of assaults or crimes and ask them 20 years ago, is it still a big deal to them? Ask them. And see the look you get when they ask you just how freaking stupid are you for even asking the question. But you have now all these people who want to rush to Peyton's defense. My question is, how do you justify defending anybody that's done something like that? How do you, if you have a daughter or a sister, justify defending people who have made a cottage industry in these universities of raping and assaulting women and the administration is doing nothing about it? Nothing about it. Nothing at all. Think about the fact that if you have a female relative and she's going to college, if she gets assaulted, chances are that college administration will do nothing about it. But you want to keep saying, oh, they're gold digging hoes. Really?
Okay, we do have a caller in queue. I have Messiah here at the brunch. Welcome. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, man, enjoying my breakfast. Messiah 2K calling from Messiah 2K show. I see y'all put my little meal on the grill. I appreciate that. But this goes on to a deep issue we talk about, not using Peyton as the cover boy for this, but we seen ESPN 2 months ago about the reports when athletes are charged, how these universities have special lawyers that take care of these cases. And I wanted to mention a couple of weeks ago with Winston, how these universities, that these state universities are settling out of court with taxpayers' money, and it's no big deal. You're using the taxpayers' money and selling out of court. If you really feel nothing was wrong, then you go to court and you fight. No different than happening in Florida State. Oh, we could have won the case, but, you know, we settled out of court for $950,000 of taxpayers' money. So that just speaks on a grand scheme of things. When it comes to paying, this guy's 40 years old. I'm sure he could defend himself now. Okay, we should. It's the, Archie's doing what most privileged folks do when they send their kids off to college. They get in a little trouble. Daddy come in, you know, let them ain't throw their name around. And it's no different than what happened in Colorado State. Everyone's seen that 30 for 30 with Colorado Buffaloes. When you have a coach who's bringing up these issues about minorities coming to campus and how they not prepared for it, a lot of these kids was coming to campus with no records, and all of a sudden they leaving with a record because the community wasn't ready for these black athletes to come through. So I think it's more of a 50-50. Everyone gets into trouble at college, but sexual assault on a campus is always running rampant. Most sexual assault, rape, date rape happens majority of the time on a college campus, not even involving athletes, just in general. So I think in the last 20 to 25 years it's gotten out there more, but then also you've seen the flip side of that. You got a brother doing 6-8 years because a female in high school lied, said she raped, and the school board paid $1 million. And you know the brother, the Falcons tried to give him a job. So, come on, even Tupac went in trouble for jail. So my whole thing is these colleges have to do a better job of protecting other people's children from other people's children, not just saying they're grown, we can't do nothing. Because technically, if you remember in college, your parents can't even call and get your report card, to be honest. they really have to do a better job. And you see what's going on with Baylor, the Baylor situation. Guys able to transfer, right, just play right away. Coaches act like they don't know how much baggage these guys have. There's a lot of money at stake, and a lot of guys is covering for a lot of guys until a lot of people speak up and forget about these lawsuits. Just speak up and be aware.
But that's what I'm saying, Messiah, is it speaks to the larger issue of the victim shaming and victim blaming. And what's sad is you have all these men now, they want to jump and call these victims hoes and this, that, and the other. What if it's your daughter?
Don't get me wrong. There are some hoes out there. Don't get me wrong. But we also changed the landscape of what is sexual assault. Like, I go home with three guys. I wake up and I'm mad because someone told me to get out. Then I go down to the precinct. You know, I think people don't want to go through the fire to prove their name. Because now if someone even say you mistreated me, my stock goes down. And
yeah, you
have to be very careful.
You know why
that is? Not every situation is lighting them up for the program, raping chicks and throwing them across the room. You know, why only three games, coach?
You know why that is, though? Because how many years did the cops show up at scenes of abuse and assault and walk the person around the block and let them go back? See, out of all of the cases that are reported, less than 1% are false claims. Less than 1%. So, you know,
but
I would rather
how many, what
are
the numbers for them even walking through? Because a lot of these coaches and these guys are, oh, I got to back my play, got my play. They don't even want to sit these guys down to work this out.
But yet these are the same men who will stand up there and tell you that they care about women. And again, it speaks to our culture as men. We got to stop. First of all, we got to stop with the, oh, that's just some hoe trying to get some money. We got to stop with that assumption. Because I keep saying the same thing. Let it be a female relative of yours, and let me see how you sound then. Let it happen to somebody that you care about, and then let me see what you sound like then.
And it also starts with high school. You've seen what happened in Ohio. I mean, in Ohio with the high school party get out of control. These guys are taking pictures with this female, passed out. One dude is texting. Another dude, the dude is saying, hey, leave her alone. They record it. And then the parents got mad because two of the players was charged, one black, one white, and one got a longer sentence. And even the parents didn't want the high school season to be ended.
Right.
Because –
right.
You know, so, I mean, you hear that, oh, but she was drinking with them. The parents, even the adults that's supposed to be in charge, don't want to stop the money train, which is sports
right.
and athletics. And you
yeah.
really look into that situation. It was just kids with too much technology trying to be on MTV. You record it. I have a rule. If she's phased down when I meet her, I'm not leaving with her. That's just my rule to stay out of trouble, you know. But and I've always been like that, but... It starts in high school. All right, we don't want to ruin their future. Oh, let's give them a chance. We're giving second and third chances to guys who don't even understand why they had the first chance.
Yeah, because I keep, you know, we brought up Manziel and keep talking about the tragedy. Listen, if your name keeps coming up in domestic violence issues, if somehow, it's like LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy's entire career, there's been every season something happened where there's some assault charges pending. Maybe he has a problem getting in fights, okay? I'm tired of hearing it's not his fault because every damn season, you want to. There's a fight when you're there. Okay,
but Chip Kelly was the problem.
Around, yeah, okay, it was down before Chip Kelly. You know, when Andy Reid was there, the same stuff was happening. Every time you go out, you get arrested for alleged domestic assault, then you're an abuser. I don't want to hear what we need to hear.
Let's even bring it back to... Let's even look at a successful case here. Brandon Marshall, let's rewind the clock back 7 years ago. This guy, every time I kept hearing the case, okay, this guy, either he's rotating too many women and they're not happy with it, or he's not treating one decent, and he finally got the help he needed, and that's why he's the spokesman now. A lot of these guys just want to throw money at the problem and keep on stepping, or have someone, hey, I got a lawyer, don't worry about it. And then when it finally comes to a head, because I'm thinking about this Ray Carew. Ray Carew, amateur, was almost squeaky clean. How could that possibly have been? And then you go to trial, you got nine women saying the same thing. If he had a baby,
right.
If I had his baby, I would kill him. We got so much coverage now. A lot of these guys are just in their own bubble. They worried about getting an armor sponsorship for their high school team and all this nonsense and not want to be complete individuals attending college. In college, you're supposed to learn. Stuff happens, we get it. But a lot of these guys are given adult responsibilities at a teenage age, and people want to cover for them because there's money at stake. And I'm not even talking about the top, you know, regular sports. I'm talking about across the whole board, whether it be alumni of a kid that's going to college there, who family legacy is there, they do something dumb, and they cover for them. So it go across the whole board. But a lot of these women are speaking up now, which is good, but you cannot let these state universities keep throwing lawsuit money that taxpayers are paying and selling it out of court. And when they take the money, the envelope is getting sealed, and you don't even hear her version of what happened. Clearly what happened in Florida State. You cut this – and I'm saying when people hear these figures, $950,000, Florida State, Maine, why are they using taxpayers' money to settle out of court?
Right. And the reason a lot of these young ladies are taking the money is because of the fact that they go to the university counseling offices, which is all supposed to be confidential when they report a rape. And suddenly, we don't know how it happened, but your name got put out there. Now, the entire school knows that she accused this star athlete of rape. Well, what are they doing? Oh, you might cost us the game. So now she's a pariah now. She's being attacked, called all kinds of names. Would you want to go through that, or would you say, you know what the hell?
And she has to carry the burden of waiting for it to get to trial and even testify, that whole deal. And so that's why taking the money is the easy way, not because the money, it's the easy way to wrap this up and move on.
Right.
People's mad at Desiree Washington. Why is she ain't taking the $2 million? Until you looked at Desiree, you're like, oh, Mike, they didn't understand this wasn't that type of chick. And that's what kind of reminds me of, like, when some of these victims speak out, then it's like, who are they speaking out for? Because when there's certain situations, rape is, we have to define even sexual behavior, deviant. You can't be putting your hands on it. You can't be, but some of these guys, now I tell guys, listen, dealing with women ain't easy. It ain't easy. Now put, you got testosterone. You're a star athlete. You figure they're all the same. And then it's not. And then you get into numerous situations over and over. Hell, I don't even got money. And I got, you know how many times you want to, you know, Rick James? But you can't. You just can't. And these got men and these boys are not talked at by other men in general. They get coddled all the long way. You don't get your way. Your mother say, don't talk to my son like that. Oh, it's these hoes. Are they all on them? They pampered like that. I don't know the right amount of voice yet. So part of my, but, you know, they pamper, oh, she just won because he started a basketball team. All these excuses are built from high school, AAU team. You ever seen how these AAU teams travel?
Yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous. I was in Atlanta last summer, and I'm like, wait a minute, these kids got to be still in high school. I know this ain't a high school team, AAU team, in a hotel with parents and young teenage girls. And guys. It was just, you know, so these kids are just, they're not taught the proper way to do things.
And that reflects poorly on guys of my generation, because what are we teaching these young men? What are we teaching?
So, LIU Brooklyn popped in my head when Richie Parker made a settlement with the victim. If he made it to the league, she gets 10% of his earnings or some craziness. With him and Charles Jones at LIU Brooklyn. LIU Brooklyn had a ranked team like almost 10, 12 years ago. And he was in high school. Chick Assault, you know, said she did something. And he settled out of court. And if he made it to the league, she get 10%. And I was like, really? That's what we're coming to? Lance Stevenson,
yeah.
I remember. Then they started getting petty with Lance Stevenson when he was in high school. Grabbed some chick butt, and they try to act like he's raping chicks.
Yeah, but the thing is, listen, you don't have the right to put your hands on another person if they don't say yes. It's really not that difficult. If they don't say yes, you don't have a right to touch them. I don't care what they're wearing. I don't care how drunk she is. I don't care where she's at. I don't care if she's the only one there with men. If she didn't say, yes, you can do this, then you don't have the right to touch somebody else without their permission. Because you know what? Let somebody come up and grab your ass that you didn't want.
Well, in this day and age, you know, with the way things going, you know, guys, I mean, you saw Odell Beckham looking at Drake last night. We just got, that's just the era we live in. Everyone's up for grabs. No one cheeks are safe. But you got to respect people who got borderlines, because everyone wants to be out there, but people don't know how to behave themselves. And this isn't happened the last 20 years. Even back then, guys were scared of an allegation because your scholarship could be ruined. These guys don't have that fear. The fear is, all right, I'll just go to another school.
Yeah.
Because it's always another coach, oh, don't worry, I want to give a second chance. When the person haven't even gone through the fire to earn to understand they lost their first chance. Everybody don't want to get somebody a second chance without even understanding how did it get to that point.
What was the kid's name on LIU Brooklyn that played with Charles Jones? Because I remember Charles Jones.
Richie Parker, I think. I think his name was Parker.
Richie Parker.
Because I'm reaching in my non-Google memory, but it's just when you hear certain cases, I mean, even especially it's always when it's high school, when they about to go to college, and then – you know, when guys don't get into certain colleges and then you start hearing, oh, like, I'm not that player. They don't tell you why this player is not that type of player for their team. And coaches do their diligent background checks, but there's always that one coach, don't worry, I could turn it around. I could turn him around. That Baylor situation, someone needs to lose their job and go to jail. Having to decide which college is and not one coach is blaming the other coach, saying the other coach didn't tell him. Some of these deans at these colleges need to lose their job.
Yeah, that entire administration at Baylor all needs to be fired, including Art Briles. They all need to be fired.
And this ain't the first time with Baylor nonsense. We had a player kill another player almost less than 10 years ago. What was the coach from Barnett like 10 years ago when another player killed another player, and they bounced back from that.
Yeah, because everybody just kind of just said, oh, well. They said, oh, well. And that's, again, what's why I brought it up, because we can't keep allowing people to justify people's behavior. We can't keep doing that, man. Because at some point, I'm too old at this point. I ain't having no kids. But at some point, y'all going to have kids. You're going to have
I work at a middle school, and let me tell you something. I'm tired of telling young men, first of all, to keep their hands off other young men, but not even that. Even girl, like, how to... And respect people's space and boundaries. These kids will approach an adult the same manner. I have to tell them, listen, this is a grown woman. You don't sit up there and talk trinkles down. And some of these kids don't even stand because they figure I look kind of young. They don't say me and their parents are the same age, maybe a little younger. And when these parents, I say, yeah, man, he put his hand on the school. Oh, but what did she do? I told my son to fight back. So when some of that mentality is drilled in, when there's no consequence on how you speak to adult boundaries, it spills over. A coach tell you to do something on the court. You pout, you get mad, you storm out. Oh, I want to transfer. Same thing Charles Oakley said. A lot of these young folks are too to get too butthurt when you tell them and try to install some discipline. I'm not saying older guys always do the right thing. I mean, I don't want to bring up the Catholic Church, you know, because it's a sports show. But this has been going on for, you know, 30, 40 years, man. There's more avenues to speak out now, but we also got to do our due diligence checks and balances. Check everything. Not wait till somebody, athlete, entertainer is attached to it, and then we want to make it a cause because we want to come up off that, you know, fame. Now everybody want to talk about domestic abuse after Ray Rice and Chris Brown, but no one spoke about it when it's a regular college camp situation or when it's at high school. You know, right. This country kind of builds off that.
And that's why I'm trying to tell you, I'll bring it up with anybody and everybody because, again, I lived it. To have cops come in and take the person out, walk around the block and let them back in the house. Mm. You know, I grew up in an era where when I went to school, after the weekend, all of the kids showed up with bruises on them. If you show up without bruises, oh, you must have went away for the weekend. You know, you must not have been home. Because it was, how was it still accepted? How the hell is it still okay?
What I noticed with ESPN, they didn't even read the no line from the court documents. Anytime they get their hands to the court documents, they put it on the screen, they read it. Kind of remind me with Big Ben when he had his allegations, and only a few reporters spoke on it, how ESPN sent out to all their outlets not to talk about the Ben Roethlisberger because the case is pending and we don't want to be judgmental. And Will Pond showed that letter. ESPN circulating that out to their outlets. They didn't want. And Big Ben, I'm not saying he was raping chicks, but he had some sexual deviant behavior because he was still in that frat boy mentality. Yeah, he's in the NFL. He's still living like he's a frat boy. Bring me this chick. I'm taking two in the back. Some girl get mad and run out. You keep on stepping. Now you at an NFL event with a female employee and you misbehaving. You know, the Dolphins had to apologize for you. So Big Ben, it's the reason Big Ben got six games.
Yes, because they knew it was more to it. And see, that's why the Rick Pitino thing is really pissing me off because, okay, you send your kid to a college campus for a recruiting visit, and the coach tells you, oh, I don't know what the hell they was doing. I'm sorry, what? That's like you giving me your kid to babysit, right? I'm babysitting your kid, and I say, well, I don't know what he was doing, man, when he got that gun with Robert. How the hell did you not know where the kid was? How did you not know what was going on? He's, oh, Rick Pitino, such a great role model. Yeah, he's teaching these young men to not value women.
Well, listen,
so how
Rick's
that a good role model?
Since the 80s. So we can't say that's his whole message he's sending. He's doing whatever he has to do to get the top play. And before, it used to be bend a little. Then you realize I'm not even bending no more. Then you hire guys to do what you need them to do to get certain kids to come to your program. Then that's when you greet the kid. You know, it's kind of like dealing with the mob. Of course he's not going to show up and slap you around and want his money. He's going to send somebody else to do it. It's no different while I'm watching Rod Strickland. It's like John Calipari. People forget, how did he get Marcus Camby to UMass? How did he get, so when he got to Memphis, got DeJuan Wagner and top guys to go to Memphis? Now all of a sudden you're at Kentucky and now you're a genius. So there's always been smoke, there's fire. That goes across the whole board. Even John Wooden, he had the guy who was, he tried to act like he didn't want a part of the program, who had to take care of things, Papa Joe or whatever. It's been going around for years, but we're in 2016. Kids see that they're getting less and less of the pie, so they want to take whatever they can get. And I think that with the Rick Pitino situation, that's what it is. You can't pay these kids, so you give them everything you can, whether it be, you know, hookers, booze, and provide that atmosphere. You come here, we take care of you. And if you were 17, 18, why wouldn't you go for that? But then again, they get that on their AAU team. They get that on their AAU team when they're traveling.
And I come back to the same thing. Where the hell are the parents? Where the hell are the guardians? Where the hell is my generation?
Because they
want to
be Mama Ives on the sideline saying that's my baby number three, and they don't want to stop the process.
That don't make it right.
I mean, but that's what the era we're dealing with. That's
big.
We thought 20 years ago
it
was at the pinnacle. I remember the biggest thing in college was Prop 48. You don't even hear that no more. You don't even hear that no more. You don't hear about Prop 48 wanting students to be athletes, having the same responsibility as regular students, but maybe lowering the field so they can be eligible to change their future. Now, I haven't heard nothing about Prop 48 in, I don't know, since John Thompson left.
What's that?
It's funny that it's come down to this, and the one thing about it is, like, looking at the positions that actually get saved, and more or less the ones that we've been discussing here right now have been the quarterback position, the i.e. the Peyton Manning, i.e. the Big Ben, and if we go back as far as, what, two seasons ago with Jameis Winston, in which they made sure that they kept Jameis Winston's situation, you know, prevalent, kept it on TV, make sure that you heard every step about the situation until it finally got taken care of as of this year with the $900,000-plus settlement that got handed out. While this has been sat on from Peyton Manning's entire NFL career from the 90s until now. I mean, Big Ben's situation has been swept under the rug so bad that nobody, you know, outside of us, like the people that, you know, still think about that situation, it swept under the rug. Like, people still look at Big Ben as the guy that's running the show in Pittsburgh. I mean, why are quarterbacks held to such
look at Peyton
Manning
coverage and look at Lawrence Phillips' coverage. They played the same time. Look at the difference in coverages.
True.
Everyone was condemning Osborne from – I remember Nebraska was running amok. Kristen Peters was another athlete. Had to settle out of court before he got to the NFL. Multiple rape charges. Nebraska. I remember Nebraska. They was like, what is going on here? But when them coaches was winning, there was this little grumbling about it. West Virginia a couple of years ago with Pat White and Pac-Man Jones and all this craziness. It just started getting worse and worse.
And looking at the situation, I mean, Peter's situation got more or less cleared out the way. Lawrence Phillips, I mean, God rest his dead, you know, this is situation. I mean,
I ain't going to say that. Lawrence Phillips deserved everything he got. Lawrence Phillips deserved everything he got. I hope he suffered when he died.
Because Lawrence Phillips would be the type of dude you would have to take out if he was messing with your sister. He's that type of dude. He's that type of dude. Eventually somebody's going to get him, even if he ain't go to jail. He's that type of dude.
Okay, well, look, like I said, compared to the quarterback position, compared to all of the other positions, I mean, why do they coddle the quarterback position more than any other position when these guys are men at the end of the day?
It's not about coddling. It's about who's making you money and what people are willing to justify in the name of fandom. There's this couple of young ladies on Twitter who have been tweeting out the court documents and things. You should look at their timeline to see the amount of vitriol and ignorance and hatred they're getting. Okay? Don't be told about my guys. That might impact my team. If you are willing to put your team fandom above basic human rights, you got a fucking problem. You got a problem. There's something wrong with you. There's really something wrong with you. But that's where we're at right now. If people are more interested in my fantasy sports team, I can't have them off the field, then they are in understanding that these are real people's lives that are being impacted. Real people are being impacted. And
well, hey,
money,
let a rapper say I got holes and we got to shut everything down.
Wait, what did you say, Chandler? And then I'll let Matthias say it again. Say it again, Chandler.
They've been talking about this thing with Peyton Manning for 20 years. It's just that now because of social media, and again, because of this Title IX lawsuit against Tennessee, that the Peyton Manning thing has been so-called found again. That's just a small part of what's been going on in Tennessee for 25 years. That's one of hundreds of incidents at that school.
And Masai, what did you say while he was closing that one out?
I said it depends who's doing, where's the money coming from and who's getting their money off the top. So if you look at it, if you put that same energy you take into politicians going after certain laws and images, they going after the LSU, the governor of Louisiana, for threatening to cancel LSU football if the budget don't get balanced. Now everybody want to pay attention.
Right.
You know, and then when you think about it, like how much has college sports really became amateur the last 20 years or more professional? But then we don't want to pay the kids. So now you see this more deviant behavior, more rampant now. And when it comes to pay and manage, amateur's everything. His father knows that. You forget when Eli got caught, I guess, with a little drinking in public. They act like this man was selling cocaine with Pablo Escobar. So
I remember that.
Yeah, so when it comes, you don't have reporters willing to go out and really investigate and just do the right thing and put stories out there. They want to cozy up to the athletes just as well and to the programs to have easy access. So they don't want to burn bridges. I'm thinking of Stephen A. Smith when he loves kissing up to Gabriel Union and D. Wade. Yeah, boy, do the right thing, marry her. But you ain't going to talk about the side chick, baby, he just dropped. It goes hand in hand. You know, the media coddles up to certain people they want to protect. And then there's certain people we want to vilify. You know, Michael Vick, I mean, he's the most evilest. I think what he did was dumb and stupid. But they, I mean, sheesh. I mean, I remember, I thought Marcus Vick was more of an idiot when going to Virginia Tech. I thought that was more problematic. Here you in college, you bring 14-year-old girls back to campus, and then you busting guns out of Mickey D's.
Yeah, but that speaks to how we view women in this society, and Ty knows this. There's a guy that everybody wants to hold up as some paragon of virtue because he's supposedly teaching young men how to be men. That's Jim Brown. Jim Brown has been arrested 13 times in 30 years for domestic violence. What kind of hell is he teaching anybody how to be a man? I still need someone to answer that question for me. I still need someone to answer that question for me. See, I'm not
that's how it was back
then.
You didn't. Have you even looked at the, not to cut you off here, because I'm thinking about the Dallas Cowboys Newton, his wife, the abuse she suffered, and then.
Right.
It was more like you didn't want to hurt the team, so you did it, but
right.
The owner would come tell you, hey, we're going to get you help. And they'd be
right.
thinking they're the only ones going through it until they speak to the otherwise and see it's the same similar behavior. When you think about Jim Brown, you think about that era, you think about the Mickey Mantles and these guys, these were like the first heralds on the field, and you really didn't want to tear them down. When you think of Jim Brown, that chick, she fell out the window, called it a Jim from the third floor. All right, Jim, all right. We ain't going to question you, you know. But then it's like with James Brown, all these guys from that era, you know, they had their women. Some they abused and they didn't speak on. And then, but we've moved on. I think we've done better, but we got miles and miles to go. And it only helps when the women don't take these settlements, take these guys to court as a whole. But these guys, it's like going against a big corporation, these colleges,
yeah.
when they got
yeah.
six, seven lawyers going after a 19, 20-year-old. And you need strong parents to help these kids go through this. So if you got a daughter and she comes to you, how do you take on a whole university with 10, 15 lawyers?
And you need the community to support you because that young lady at Florida State, her name was never supposed to be released, by the way. Everybody just kind of glossed over the fact that her – yeah, you did. And everybody just kind of glossed over it, the fact that her name was put out there. We were never supposed to know her name. We were never supposed to know her name.
But what's the same taxes we're seeing? That's no different when somebody unarmed gets shot by the cops. What did they do? Oh, he was arrested when he was 13 for hopping a turnstile. So that's the reason the cops had to shoot him. It's the same, you know, divide and conquer game. Oh, these athletes are doing so much. We don't want to ruin their future. Sometimes you have to sit folks down. Winston miss that whole Florida time? What, a half? Johnny Football, when he was signing them footballs for money, what did he miss? A half? And now what happens? It flushes out eventually when no one's there to coddle you.
Yeah.
Pac-Man Jones, he only changed his tune once. What happened? He go to the strip club making it rain, and some bouncer gets shot in the hip and paralyzed because he don't know how to act. And that's and
yep.
he probably should have got some jail time for setting that scene.
Yeah. And yet now people still can't understand why he's still acting the way he's acting. Oh, he's mature. No, he's not. He's an idiot. He's always going to be an idiot.
Now, did he calm down only because his NFL career was – damn near halted. But when he came out of West Virginia, when they started, when West Virginia made that little run with Rodriguez, he was getting the best athletes no matter what. And it kind of took, Pac-10, but it came with red flags then. But they keep on trucking.
You know, and that's why, Ty, I told you that Kevin Sumlin is not long for Texas A&M. Because you see what's going on there. You see why kids are transferring left and right. When kids are leaving your school because they say, listen, it's out of control. When you have 19-year-olds saying that your program is out of control, how out of control is your damn program?
Well, he's up against it because he's trying to change the culture there, but he don't have the money behind him, not his AD going. And kids noticed. It's not like back in the day where kids was isolated and thinking their coach controlled their future. These kids know, you screw them out of practice, they could just up and leave.
It should be, somewhere where it's beyond without repair. But, I mean, like I said, man, they pick and choose situations just like it's often mentioned across the board or who they want to protect, who they want to take care of, so on and so forth. We look at so many different situations across the board between, you know, male and female and how certain stuff gets, you know, overblown. I can't even really say overblown, but more or less a situation where they make sure they nail home every situation possible on it, and some of this stuff gets swept under the rug. Like looking at Johnny Football's situation, Johnny Manziel, people are still overlooking the fact that I didn't even know that this was the situation that they domestic dispute got into, is that her eardrum situation is involved. Like, that's a serious matter. What if she actually loses her hearing down the road? It don't even have to be right now, but this is something that happened in the instance of this situation, and they're more or less trying to get him help. And this is something that Chandler hit on last week on a guy like Herm Edwards trying to stand up for him. Where there's other guys in the NFL that have gone through their situations, have pictures, so on and so forth, but they're picking and choosing on which athlete can, as has been discussed here, who can be the money maker that, or could generate money for a respected organization or for the league itself, or guys that they could do without and say that they're basically replaceable, you know, so.
Guess who's available to be reinstated? Josh Gordon. What are we going to do with that kid?
Oh, he's done. What I'm going to say, man.
He's done. He just shot himself in a way.
If you're a male and you hear about somebody that assaulted a woman, before you jump up and use the words hoe and bitch, pretend it's your daughter. Imagine that's your daughter. And then let me see if you still feel the same way.
But then on the flip side of that, no, all people only want to do it when they have stuff at stake and when it should be the protocol across the all board. The same rules that apply in the SEC should apply in the ACC. If you have the same infractions at this school, you shouldn't be able to switch and just go to another school and play immediately. Make these guys sit down.
It's not just athletes. On college campuses, 85% of the assaults on college campuses, just college campuses, don't get reported because the victims don't feel that they'll get treated properly by the administration. So that means your daughter has a very real possibility of being on a college campus and being assaulted, and the administration will do nothing, regardless of who the perpetrator is.
And won't they remove him off campus?
No. And that's what I said. When you hear about it with an athlete, okay, that's one out of probably 50 on that campus that you're hearing about.
There's assistant coaches, professors, frat boys.
That nobody heard about.
Bar scenes, college professors. So let's go on and on. So as a whole, I think this country has to take us. You just see what happens even with when you bring up the name Hillary Clinton, the reaction. And that's all you have to think about. But just that. When it comes, we still fall behind having given women just due process. And I see we're going more backwards unless there's fame attached to it and you see money being thrown at it and then we want to vilify the person
right
that's making the claim. I mean, come on. Everyone's buying Chris Brown album because his daughter's on the cover. Like, type of dumb nonsense. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a good father now. Why, you take a few pictures? Are we going to forget that you washed up somebody? Like, come on.
Right.
Oh, we got to give them another chance. Sometimes people don't understand they need a second chance. until they really have to sit down. Michael Vick had to sit down. You got to sit folks down sometimes. And ADs and team and presidents need to start losing their job for these campuses getting out of control. That's the only way that's going to happen. And stop letting these boosters throw money at situations. They wouldn't be able to throw all this money around if they didn't have all these boosters covering for them.
Yeah, the corporation of college athletics, it's something else. It is worse almost than corporate America.
Wow. Well, the money comes from the same place.
The
same guys who boosters is also down at Wall Street making it happen. Hand in hand. I said it for 10 years. We need to scale back, stop all these out-of-conference games, put the amateur back to amateur sports so these kids can understand. How do you expect an 18, 19-year-old who you've been putting on TV for him announcing what school he's going to, you put him on TV every time he runs somewhere, you put him on TV anytime he do something, you're selling jerseys without his name on it and numbers, you're putting him on TV all the time. His own college got his own, Texas got their own network now. And, by the way, you can't work 40 hours and you can't do this and you can't have more than $300 a month for food and all this craziness. Eventually, people start lashing out, figure, all right, I'm going to just beat the system my way. I'm going to take what I can get. They're going to let me play anyway. I'll get drunk and put my hands on this chick. Oh, all right, man, don't worry. They got a lawyer for me.
And there is a Texas great that is actually trying to reach out to Johnny Manziel also to try and help him out as well. I think it was Campbell, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's Earl Campbell. Earl, you know, and see, right now, I saw Earl, like another one I just saw, respectful. I'd meet Cap Earl Campbell if he wasn't so damn crippled.
Earl may need Johnny to help him get around. He need to ask Johnny for some money because Earl barely walking around himself. See, that's another
right.
one. We always want to help folks who already have it. That's like people praying for Russell Wilson and Sierra. I ain't praying for people who got it. All right?
Listen,
the talent is hard enough.
Where was Earl Campbell when Vince Young was being vilified for having some mental health issues? Okay? But you want to reach out to the white guy? Really? Really? You Uncle Tom? Really?
Hey, let's put that racial card away. You know, I remember him speaking out when Ricky Williams was going through his drama.
Exactly. But let's say the young white kid, because that's important.
Well, you understand,
Earl.
They butted his bread. Texas just gave him a job where he basically get housing, and so you know how that is. You can't destroy Candyland.
Okay.
And this is, Earl, listen, sometimes they throw you out there. Did he have a Fox News suit on when he said that?
Johnny Manziel went to Texas A&M. Earl Campbell went to the University of Texas. He should have nothing to say for Johnny Manziel, first of all.
Right.
You know, Johnny thinking that's probably Lou Campbell who said, hey, listen, I got all his albums. I'm like, no, Johnny, that's Earl Campbell, Earl.
You're silly.
Okay. Well, boys, my phone is beeping. I'm definitely going to be on tomorrow. I know we're going to talk about the dunk contest tomorrow. I hate to burn, but my phone is beeping. Sports City Chef, y'all do your thing.
Right. All right, give me a plug and close out before you go in a memorable Kobe Bryant All-Star game.
Kobe shouldn't even be there. He need to sit home. But I'm not going to get into all that. Messiah 2K at the Messiah 2K show, hit us up. We back in the booth. I got the white boy doing the show with me for Black History Month. He trying to take a vacation. We back at it.
Okay, Taylor, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything you'd like to promote in a memorable Kobe Bryant All-Star situation.
I have none. I don't give a damn about Kobe Bryant. I ain't a Kobe Bryant fan. I'm a Knicks fan. I don't care about Kobe Bryant. So, I have no memories of Kobe Bryant other than the fact that I hate him because he didn't play for my team. Other than that, man, good show, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, and I feel the same way he does. I'm not a big Kobe fan, but I respect him up until this point. And the one memory that I do have of him in the All-Star game is him going back to Philadelphia and winning the MVP for getting booed by his family, friends, and fans in Philadelphia, in the city where he's from and played ball at. Like, knowing that he was doing everything possible to score every point possible and nobody back home wanted to see that or liked it. That's a memory that I think will be etched in stone for me, at least in the All-Star weekend for Kobe Bryant. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that I can think of, but for him to make, this is his 18th straight All-Star game, that one still sticks in my head, at least for Kobe Bryant. But all that he's gone through throughout the season, as much as I wanted to see this day come, I feel bad for this season because I didn't expect Kobe to go out. As of now, they are 11-44. The Lakers are that bad. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. Like they said, we'll be back here tomorrow with the Monday night sports wrap-up. Get a lot of the aftermath from this weekend, some of the games, see how Miami does outside of this Florida State game. I want to see if Chandler is right, if this is within a five-point region, or if this is a blowout, if Miami is for real, because then we'll have more dishes in the kitchen to discuss tomorrow. But we'll still have stuff for you. Don't you worry. On that note, tell a friend, this is the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
Kick back, relax, enjoy this, everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.